All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
President Zelensky for his passionate message this morning. I listened to it in the private residence, and he was convincing and significant speech. He speaks for a people who have shown remarkable courage and strength in the face of brutal aggression. Courage and strength that's inspired not only the Ukrainians, but the entire world. Putin is inflicting appalling devastation and horror on Ukraine, bombing apartment buildings, maternity wards, hospitals. I mean, it's god-awful. I was speaking about this with our commander behind me here, General Milley. I mean, it just is amazing. Yesterday, we saw reports that Russian forces were holding hundreds of doctors and patients hostage in the largest hospital in Mariupol. These are atrocities. They're an outrage to the world. And the world is united in our support for Ukraine and our determination to make Putin pay a very heavy price. America's leading this effort, together with our allies and partners, providing enormous levels of security and humanitarian assistance that we're adding to today, and we're going to continue to do more in the days and weeks ahead. We're crippling Putin's economy with punishing sanctions that's going to only grow more painful over time, with the entire NATO and EU behind us and many other countries. What's at stake here are the principles that the United States and the United Nations and across the world stand for. It's about freedom. It's about the right of people to determine their own future. It's about making sure Ukraine will never be a victory for Putin, no matter what advances he makes on the battlefield. The American people are answering President Zelensky's call for more help, more weapons for Ukraine to defend itself, more tools to fight Russian aggression. And that's what we're doing. In fact, we started our assistance to Ukraine before this war began, as they started to do exercises along the Ukrainian border to Russians starting in March of last year. We took the threat of Putin invading very seriously. We acted on it. We sent Ukraine more security assistance last year, $650 million in weapons, including anti-air and anti-armor equipment, before the invasion. More than we had ever provided before. So when the invasion began, they already had in their hands the kinds of weapons they needed to counter Russian advances. And once the war started, we immediately rushed $350 million in additional aid to further address their needs. Hundreds of anti-air systems, thousands of anti-tank weapons, transport helicopters, armed patrol boats, and other high-mobility vehicles, radar systems that help track incoming artillery and unmanned drones, secure communications equipment and tactical gear, satellite imagery and analysis capacity. And it's clearly helped Ukraine inflict dramatic losses on Russian forces. On Saturday, my administration authorized another $200 million to keep a steady flow of weapons and ammunition moving to Ukraine. Now I'm once again using my presidential authority to activate an additional security assistance to continue to help Ukraine fend off Russia's assault. An additional $800 million in assistance. That brings the total of new U.S. security assistance to Ukraine to $1 billion just this week. These are direct transfers of equipment from our Department of Defense to the Ukrainian military to help them as they fight against this invasion. And I thank the Congress for appropriating these funds. This new package, on its own, is going to provide unprecedented assistance to Ukraine. It includes 800 anti-aircraft systems to make sure the Ukrainian military can continue to stop the planes and helicopters that have been attacking their people and to defend their Ukrainian airspace. And at the request of President Zelensky, we have identified and are helping Ukraine acquire additional longer-range anti-aircraft systems and the munitions for those systems. Our new assistance package also includes 9,000 anti-armor systems. These are portable, high accuracy shoulder mounted missiles that the Ukrainian forces have been using with great effect to destroy invading tanks and armored vehicles. It'll include 7,000 small arms, machine guns, shotguns, grenade launchers to equip the Ukrainians, including the brave women and men who are defending their cities as civilians, and they're on the countryside as well. And as well as the ammunition, artillery, and mortar rounds to go with small arms, 20 million rounds in total. 20 million rounds. And this will include drones, which demonstrates our commitment to sending our most cutting-edge systems to Ukraine for its defense. And we're not doing this alone. Our allies and partners have stepped up to provide significant shipments of security assistance and will continue to help facilitate these deliveries as well. The United States and our allies and partners are fully committed to surging weapons of assistance to the Ukrainians. And more will be coming as we source additional stocks of equipment that we're ready to transfer. Now, I want to be honest with you. This could be a long and difficult battle, but the American people will be steadfast in our support of the people of Ukraine in the face of Putin's immoral, unethical attacks on civilian populations. We are united in our abhorrence of Putin's depraved onslaught, and we're going to continue to have their backs as they fight for their freedom, their democracy, their very survival. And we're going to give Ukraine the arms to fight and defend themselves through all the difficult days ahead. We're going to continue to mobilize humanitarian relief to support people within Ukraine and those who have been forced to flee Ukraine. In just the past few weeks, we provided $300 million of humanitarian assistance to the people in Ukraine and in neighboring countries. Tens of thousands of tons of food, water, medicine, and other basic supplies to support the people in need. Our experts on the ground in Poland and Moldova and other neighboring countries are there to make real-time assessments of the rapidly evolving crisis and get urgently needed humanitarian supplies to the people in need when they need it. And we will support Ukraine's economy with direct financial assistance as well. And together with our allies and partners, we will keep up the pressure on Putin's crumbling economy, isolating him on the global stage. That's our goal. Make Putin pay the price, weaken his position, while strengthening the hand of the Ukrainians on the battlefield and at the negotiating table. Together with our allies and partners, we're going to stay the course, and we'll do everything we can to push for and end this tragic, unnecessary war. This is a struggle that pits the appetites of an autocrat against humankind's desire to be free. And let there be no doubt, no uncertainty, no question, America stands with the forces of freedom. We always have, and we always will. I thank you all, and God bless you. And I'm going to walk over and sign this bill to allow the drawdown of those materials. And may God protect the young Ukrainians who are out there defending their country.
Well, you heard it straight from the puppet's lips. Joe Biden, the man who wants to take every firearm away from the American patriot. The man who fears the American militia. This man wants to fund a unknown group of people from Ukraine. None of them are vetted, besides the very few that the military or the three-letter agencies are in contact with, probably within the government and certain resistance movements. And he's going to send them all types of guns, every single type of gun that he says we Americans don't need. He's also going to funnel hundreds of millions or billions of dollars, your tax money, to fund a war that I don't know that we should have any part of it right now. I think this should be more of a European conflict. Not so much an American. We can lend what we need militarily, and I understand that. But to give billions, and you still have people in this country without jobs. You still have people in this country who are, they're dying across the country, Mr. President, because you killed their sources of work. You killed the pipeline Families are bankrupt. Families are divorced because of it. You know, what about us? What about we, the people? How can you grandstand and sit there with General the Traitor Milley behind you and say that you're going to give all the funds and all the guns to Ukraine, but yet you want to strip America of our money and our weaponry? What hypocrisy do we fall under now? You know, last time I was on, I had a prayer for you. I guess the prayer didn't work. Your head's still up your ass. Look, I don't mean to cuss so much. I am highly pissed off by this government and by this clown that we have as commander-in-chief. And it's embarrassing as a veteran. It's embarrassing as a former federal employee. It's embarrassing as an American and a patriot. And I'm sure it's embarrassing to all of you as well. But what can we do about it? What can we do about it? Well, I want you to consider this. It's a poll from Fox News. Democrats don't believe America is worth defending if invaded. Polling shows. Only 40% of Democrats would stay and fight if the U.S. were invaded. That's interesting to me. Because I don't know, I would put that number much lower. You know, if the tables were flipped and America was in the same state that Ukraine was in, would we see other countries funneling guns and money to us? If our cities were being bombarded, rocket attacks, fast wing jet fuel air bomb attacks, artillery attacks, you know, the rise of troop movements throughout the streets, which then grows into civil conflict and three-block warfare. Would the world come and help us? Or would they just sit back and watch, like we all are for Ukraine? Now, I kind of go back and forth with this. Should we be in Ukraine? Should we be fighting Putin? Should we stay out of Ukraine and let Putin and Ukraine and Europe deal with their own personal matters? Or if we do get involved, do we make sure that we go to the correct groups and not the neo-Nazi groups? These are all problems that we have to face. These are all problems that I'm promising you right now are not being addressed at all. And once again, whenever George Soros and Hillary Clinton and all the mainstream media and the Bushes, the Mitt Romneys, the rhinos, the neocons, the hardcore liberals and the idiots out there, even to the point that TikTok social media stars, which that's a parody in itself, were on a conference call, a Zoom conference call, with the White House on how to properly address Ukraine from their platforms. You have to stop and ask yourself just what in the clown circus is going on here. If these people tell me to support something, if the hardcore leftists, the people who are truly like anti-American, the ones who want to label 80 million people as terrorists, the ones who want to label any white male with tattoos out there as a racist, the ones who want to talk about the unfairness of history, but yet they want to then completely control your future, those people are telling you to invest mightily into their, I guess you could say, speculations of Ukraine and what's happening there. No, thank you. I'm not going to take a part in it. I will take no part in that because I just don't believe them at all. To make news a little lighter, I did find this post on Twitter and I thought it was hilarious. Russia has already been cut off from CNN, American porn, and Facebook. The United States is now working on depriving Russians of McDonald's and Coca-Cola. If they keep going with these sanctions, Russians will soon be among the healthiest, well-adjusted, and best-informed people on the planet. That's hilarious. That's absolutely hilarious. We are literally in the battle of the wokes versus the awakes. See, the difference here is many of us that have been awake for a while to what's going on, we don't believe the lies. And that's why you have the woke sheeple out there that just believe whatever they are told. If the government came out tomorrow and said that COVID hovered around 4 feet, people would probably walk on their hands and knees because they believe whatever it is that they say. And I was telling my wife earlier, I said, you know, I'm thinking of creating my own ism here. Instead of saying conspiracy theories, I'm going to start saying government theories. Because the government lies to us to the point that it's comical. The government lies to us to the point that it is so comical that no one believes the lies. And those that believe the lies, the rest of us go, ah, well, go figure, look at them. Still wearing a mask, still staying 6 feet apart from everybody, still wearing gloves, still being a Karen on Broadway, yelling at everybody who doesn't fit into her social norms of life. To me, you woke people, you super hardcore liberals, you are being preyed upon. You're being preyed upon, you're being cannibalized by your own government. And you just sit back and applaud them and say that's a good thing. You're almost gracious that it's happening. You know, people say these things about Putin all the time. I'm going to give you another Twitter feed here. And I think it's comical. The internet wins again. Listen to this. And consider, it's Hillary Clinton, it's Bill Clinton, the Bushes, Joe loves to sniff hair, Biden. It's all these people, Kamala Harris. They want to tell you all about how bad Putin is. But just, you know, hear this out. Because America has zero moral authority to criticize the choices of another nation's leaders. There aren't hundreds of photos of Putin sniffing little children while his son smokes crack and gets and has intercourse with sex slaves in Ukraine while mentally ill trannies in his administration openly work to normalize pedophilia and sex with dogs. The Biden administration has literally made America a global embarrassment. So that was from Lauren Witzk. You know what? I agree with her. We have become a global embarrassment. A global embarrassment. Our founding fathers, if they were brought back to modern day 2022, would wage war on this government. I'm going to say that again. If the founding fathers were to be transmuted to this point in time, they would declare war on this tyrannical government. Because it no longer makes sense what's happening in America. You can't have a job at the pipelines because it's Putin's fault. Your gas prices are rising and soon you're going to have to decide on groceries or gas in order to get to work, and that's Putin's fault. We're going to send hundreds of millions and billions of dollars, your dollars, that I'm not going to give you, I, the government, and I'm going to deny you everything, but we're going to give it to Ukraine that'll go to the neo-Nazis to fight the commies because that's Putin's fault. Not everything can be blamed on Vladimir Putin. I'm not a Russian apologist. I don't think Vladimir Putin's the greatest of guys. He has done some bad, bad stuff in his own country. I don't support him. But what I also don't support is the hypocrisy of the United States government. we aren't who we used to be. We are not the global power that we used to be. Even Jen Psaki recently, this idiot, and I disagree with her on this, Jen Psaki said, America has one of the most powerful countries, militaries in the world, one of the most powerful militaries in the world. Ms. Psaki, I know you're an idiot. However, I want you to understand something. We have the most powerful military in the world. That is how you project American exceptionalism. That is how you project the might of the American military. You don't say, well, maybe, I guess, kind of, yeah, we're a pretty good army. No, we are the best army. We have the best warfighters. We have the best technology. We have the best, most heroic, patriotic people in the military. You don't tell the rest of the world that, I think we're like between 1 and 5, we may land at 3. That is how you show the rest of the world how weak we are. But that is who is running the country right now. A bunch of weak people. A bunch of frail, jellyfish-style people. There's not one of them there that has any cartilage left in their spines. They just flop over. Anytime there's a sign of danger, they just flop over. It's embarrassing to watch. It'll be even more embarrassing to watch whenever eventually these weak people lose control of their narrative and they're forced to do something extreme. We're going to probably break that down here in a few days, but I will like to say that I'm still uploading stuff on Rumble and YouTube. I've uploaded a couple more things, and every time I upload them, I'm just waiting to get that another warning, another strike. But so far, it's working. Starting next week, we are going to dive into everything that I can find, everything that I know, and everyone that I can interview on UFOs. So I hope you will be tuning in for that. Should be pretty entertaining. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, now's a really good time to continue to prepare. I know I say this every single time, but I'm also paid to say it, so I'm not lying to you. But it's way more than that. I just personally don't see America pulling out of what's happening right now, and we just make it through. I think America's economy is going to fail. I think it's going to fail hard. And I think the failure of the economy will be a spark for a war that will go worldwide. And you can already see the BRICS Nations Alliance, which is Brazil, Russia, China, India, so on and so forth. There's a bunch of them out there. You can see that they are planning and preparing for something economically. I think this whole move with Russia right now, this move, counter move that we're doing, it's not working. Putin's still there. You know, the sanctions obviously haven't impacted them that great. So somebody's propping them up, which would be China, which is also supposedly like an ally of ours. Even though they're not technically an ally of ours, they're an ally of our politicians. So these are things we need to speculate. There's a lot of moving parts here behind the curtains. So just my forewarning, continue to prep, continue to pray, continue to get in shape. If you have any ailing injuries right now, now's a good time to start addressing them. I think now's a very good time to start addressing any problems that you might be having. Because there may come a time in this country where you just have to pick up and move. And you just have to pick up and move whatever it is that you have that you can grab. So, continue to prep. You can visit mountain-state-survival.com. You can buy some of these survival buckets. When we talk about picking up and moving and bugging out and all that cool stuff, man, is it convenient to have everything inside one sealed container. And all you got to do is pick it up or, you know, stage it properly right next to your garage or whatever. Yeah, that's a little bit of my suggestions because that's what I do. If it ever hits the fan, and pray that I'm wrong about everything that I suggest or that everything that I speculate on. But if I'm right, there's going to come a time when you're just going to have to pick up and move. I lean very hard on what Revelation says about that. But, you know, that's just where I'm at right now. So we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
The force of death comes from the hands of men who just wanted to be left alone. They try so very hard to mind their own business and provide for themselves and those they love. They resist every impulse to fight back, knowing the forced and permanent change of life that will come from it. They know that the moment they fight back, their lives as they have lived them are over. The moment that the men who wanted to be left alone are forced to fight back, it's a form of suicide. They're literally killing off who they used to be. Which is why, when forced to take up violence, these men who wanted to be left alone fight with unholy vengeance against those who murdered their former lives. They fight with raw hate and a drive that cannot be fathomed by those who are merely play-acting at politics and terror. True terror will arrive at these people's door, and they will cry, scream, and beg for mercy, but will fall upon the deaf ears of the men who just wanted to be left alone.
When I see stuff like this, and I'm seeing a lot of it, coming across the internet, it makes me consider where we're at right now in this country. It makes me consider how dystopian things may eventually get. Americans right now are sick and tired of a government that is doing everything within its power to keep its boot on the back of our necks. If we speak out against anything, you investigate us. If we protest about anything we don't like, you infiltrate us. If we plan for the worst case scenario, you call us traitors. But yet, these same people are more than willing to openly plan in the World Economic Forums, at the Bilderberger Groups, at the little hidden islands that they like to go and play with little children sexually on. These people, they say that we're the problem. They say that we're the enemy. In many ways, they're right. We are. We are their enemy. Had a listener, he emailed me and he said, you know, that he respects everything that I say and that how I bring up constantly about, you know, militias, patriots, my idea of the post-apocalyptic patriots, and told me to make sure that I never forget the little guys, and that I see the difference between veterans and I see the difference between the Minutemen patriots, and there is. Just like the difference between a security guard and a police officer. You know, one is a paid professional, and the other one, we're talking about the military, one is a paid professional, and the other one responds to a crisis. You know, I would expect that if World War III were to happen, that every single city, town, township, suburb, private community, whatever, I would expect a militia to be formed. I would expect a civilian watch, an armed civilian watch, to be formed. Now, none of that says go to the White House and, you know, make yourself look like a bunch of idiots. I'm talking about community preparedness. I don't care about the White House anymore. I really don't. I'm so far removed and beyond what happens in I'm so far removed and beyond what's happening in the White House. I don't care about those people that are there anymore because they don't care about us. And you know what? At the end of the day, anything that happens in D.C. directly, like a nuclear blast, the release of anthrax, there's a lot of stuff that we've done training events on for this. Terrorist attack, whatever. It doesn't directly affect me in my locality. Now it can eventually, but for the first 72 hours to a week, it won't. So we need a plan. We need to prepare for that case scenario. For that moment when things just get too serious. When things just get, you know, too out of control. Instead of just being out there on your own, you need to be able to work in communion with other people. Listen, you know, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I'm a father. I have four small children. I don't have the luxury of running out and joining the conscripted military to fight the British. I don't have the luxury of this, you know, want and need for valor and bravery anymore. I'm beyond that. I am removed from that now. Instead, what I have is a need and a sense of urgency to always need to protect my children, to need to protect my wife, my family, my loved ones, my land. Everything else that is beyond me. There will be plenty of people out there who are going to willfully throw their hat in the group and say, you know, sign me up, I'll go, you know, wherever to fight. Many of us are not in that anymore. Many of us older veterans, fathers, you know, even some of the senior citizens that are out there. Many of us are not going to have that option to just, you know, willfully go out and fight. But you need to be able to protect your community. That's the logistical driving force for a fighting unit. And we will need it. There will be training venues and needings for people with our types of skills. You know, there will probably still be missions that when everything breaks down in this post-apocalyptic future of mine, you know, us veterans will still probably be very thoroughly involved in some sort of operation. However, you got to understand that things change when you're a parent. When you have those other adult responsibilities, you can't just run off and leave. And, you know, we've seen it before in history when all these things have happened time and time and time again. If you look at the French and Indian Wars, whenever men would go off to join the militias, which would then become part of the colonial army that was for the British, well, that's when their villages would get struck.
That's when the atrocities happen, when all the men have left. So just, you know, caution to all you would-be Rambos out there. I say stand your ground, form communities. That's where I'm at right now, anyways. I don't know, the other day I said I felt like I'm in a... I have the strangest feeling that it's like the calm before the storm. And I know plenty of people have said that. I know plenty of people have placated that. I typically don't say stuff like that. I typically don't give much evidence to some of the things I see, because war has always been here. And many of my, you know, fellow counterparts in my former job, who are all veterans, all good patriotic veterans, they could all probably tell you how many times they've seen war or been in war, and how, you know, we just say these things come and go and like the wind. There's always a conflict, but there's not always a conflict here in the United States, and that's what I'm saying. I think that's what's coming. There's a conflict going on every other else around the world, but not here in the U.S., and if our economy tanks to that level, well, yeah, it's probably going to happen. And Joe Biden and his ilk, through this whole new Green Deal and the Build Back Better plan, it seems like that's what they want. It seems like their end goal is to decapitate the American economy and then just watch the rest of the nation bleed out. I think if we completely do away with coal and oil, natural gas, we are just never going to recover. I was watching a Fox News special where they were talking to a bunch of roughnecks that are in Oklahoma, I believe. And they were talking about the pipeline and asking them, you know, hey, what do you think about, you know, Joe Biden canceling the pipeline to Russia now, but whenever he first became president, he canceled your pipeline. Well, what do you think they said? They said, oh, this guy's crazy. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's a deliberate attack against the American economy, against the hardworking American men and women and their families, which it is. Because while they sit there and they tell you, you know, go get a green car, go get a, you know, what is it, the electric cars. While they tell you this, these people are sitting there sipping on their fine wines and eating their, you know, $100 steak dinners. The rest of America, we have to just sit here and suffer and watch. It's like the Hunger Games almost. You know, the Capitol, where they all get their fine dines and all their balls, and they all look ridiculous. That's like a premonition of what America will eventually be if we don't get a control of all this. Here, let me just show you an example. Not from me and butchering this. Let me just give you an example straight from this lady's mouth.
Obviously, we have the acute issues with the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack, but looking more holistically in a macro view, how does this speed up the efforts at DOE to move in more of a renewable direction, since this is going to have an impact on people at the pump?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously are all in on making sure that we meet the president's goals of getting to 100% clean electricity by 2035 and net zero carbon emissions by 2050. And, you know, if you drive an electric car, this would not be affecting you, clearly.
Clearly would not be affecting you. Russia oil in 2021, we were importing 670,000 barrels of oil per day from Russia. The Keystone Pipeline would have provided 830,000 barrels of oil per day. When we have an excessive amount of oil, you know what happens? The dollar goes up. Your groceries go down. Your cost of gas and diesel go down. The cost of all productions of all materials goes down. Because until the future happens, we are stuck with petroleum byproducts. And everything comes off of petroleum byproducts. Everything. The way you process meat, the way you have to, you know, use the energy in order to have the big coolers. All this stuff is coming from petroleum byproducts. Some of the energy is still coming from nuclear power plants and hydroelectric water dams, but it's not that many. So what's the point? And eventually that's the other thing. These people, they want to take down the hydroelectric dams. They want to take down the nuclear reactors. And they want to run everything off of solar and off of wind farms, which it is not effective. It's just proven not effective. The science isn't there yet. I'm not saying it can't eventually be there, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't go that direction. I grew up in an oil-filled family, so I very much love and respect where my oil comes from, where my gas comes from, and the hard work it takes to get it to me. But who does it benefit when we turn off the power? It benefits no one. Well, you know what? It benefits China. China benefits greatly from anything that makes America not a superpower. And so does every other nation around the world that's not our friend. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall. And nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have. Access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Welcome back. This is American Vindicta. By the way, this is episode 82. It is March 16th, 2022. Thank God we're still alive. We've been talking about the new Green Deal and Build Back Better and, you know, the killing of our energy and the targeting of oil. Let's listen to the British Parliament and what they have to say about it.
I take the opportunity of wishing the East European cities well in the coming of the very early skiing season, and snow and ice that's come there, what of course is indicative of the fact that, as independent science has now confirmed, that the globe is actually cooling and has been cooling since 2002, broadly flat since 1998. We're all talking about something here which isn't happening. I've heard time and time again members here talk of CO2 as a pollutant. A pollutant is a life-giving natural gas. It gives me the impression that some of our members haven't had the benefit of a formal education. Isn't this really just about the state being able to get its hand in ordinary people's trouser pocket to steal yet more tax from them? Isn't this all about political control? Isn't all this about politics and big business? The whole thing's a sham. This bogus hypothesis, this ridiculous nonsense that man-made CO2 is causing global warming. Enough, please, before we damage irrevocably the global economy.
Ah, and there you have it. The global economy. I think that's what a lot of this is coming to now. I think the next series of agendas, the next series of events, is going to be very economically based. You're going to stop caring about what's happening in Ukraine. And we're going to focus on the economy. I don't know what that looks like for the future. All I can tell you is that every single one of us are going to pay for it. But all the politicians and the Hollywood elitists and all these millionaires and billionaires who forgot where the hell they came from and what country they live in, they're going to continue to look the other way. Now, let me give you a piece of warning for all those people. One of these days, there's going to be men like me that you are going to try to recruit, that you're going to try to reach back out to help to maintain the bricks of your kingdom as they're being torn apart by the population. And you're going to look upon men like me and my fellow counterparts, and you're going to say, please pick up the sword and the shield and defend us. And men like me, who you have deprived, who you have castigated, who you have said that I am the enemy, who you have said, by the way, this is real, what was said to me, that my oath of allegiance to this nation is wavering. You're going to look back to guys like me, and you're going to say, please save me. And we're going to look down and tell you no. You are on your own now. Just like how you've left us to be on our own for so long. Just like how you have raped and robbed this country and pillaged this country for your own financial means. America is giving up on its politicians. America has given up on its Hollywood elitist sweethearts. How many of you even tuned in to watch the Super Bowl? How many of you even tune in to watch what these clowns in D.C. say? Very few. We are more awake than ever. We communicate about this with one another more than ever, which is also why I think something that's on the chopping block is the internet. I think our ability to communicate freely is at risk. It's at great risk with this current government, because they're going to say that social media platforms and the internet is where all these terrorists come together and they talk. And in some ways that is true, but if we only look at that through the lens of the military and law enforcement, there are terrorist organizations that strictly only use the internet for speaking. However, they're going to try and say that every single one of us, based off of the new DHS standards, that we're all terrorists, that we don't believe in the vaccine, we don't believe in the COVID-19 lockdown measures, we all think Dr. Fauci is Dr. Mengele 2.0, we don't believe the Ukrainian war, we see the Nazis that you're funding. You know, you're the people who hid everything about Jeffrey Epstein. You let Hillary Clinton go with her 30,000 emails and her 18 felonies and the over 140 people that have all committed suicide around her that she called friend. We pay attention. We log this down. We communicate with one another, and we're watching you. Big Brother is now meeting eye to eye with Little Brother. Here's the thing about Big Brother, though. Big Brother's been around for a while with their sources and communications. Big Brother has been around for a while with their infiltrators. But I still rely on this. We have the sovereignty of God on our side. And that gives us way more strength than anything these tyrants ever have. So just in case you're wondering, this will not be on YouTube. YouTube will probably quickly strike it, and let's see how long it even lasts on Rumble. Thank you to KYAH and GS Radio for supporting this podcast. Thank you to all my sponsors for supporting this podcast. Thank you to all of you fans who email me. I email you right back. I'm sure that surprises some of you. Thank you all who support me financially as well through your donations. It is truly, truly heartfelt. And me and my family truly thank you for every donation, every penny. You know, I'm not out here with my hand opened and, asking for money. But if you want to help fund this, which it is strictly funded by only a few different sources and means of funding right now, then you can go to the AmericanVindictiveShow.com. We have a donations button on there. And, I just want to say that I am truly honored and grateful for anyone who donates to me, because you really don't have to. You really don't have to. If you don't make that much money, don't donate to me. If you need to buy anything for preparations, don't donate to me. If you don't like this show, don't donate to me. But if you feel the need and pull by God, then, by all means, please. Real quick, I want to read you a tweet that I found. Really kind of pisses me off and shows you where we're at right now in the world. This is from AZBorn1. This person said, being a Vietnam vet, I know what being a patriot means. What the truckers are doing is not acting like a patriot, but rather delusional jerks. Refusing the vaccines endangers and kills Americans. They are the equivalent, actually worse, than World War II draft dodgers, which I don't remember ever being called patriots. Well, this person's an idiot. This person's obviously delusional and is up on their own soapbox. And all I would like to say is that this person does not represent, I would say, the average of United States veterans or our opinions. So don't look at us all through a narrow lens. I don't agree with one thing that this guy says at all. And I'm going to assume that it's a guy. What the truckers are doing is not acting like a patriot, but rather delusional jerks. Have you forgotten what the word patriot means? It doesn't mean patriot means sign up for the military. And I can't stand it whenever I hear people that are veterans or that are in the military and they look down upon other Americans because they're not in the military. So, they're off over here, LARPing or whatever. I've heard all this stuff. I disagree with it. I disagree with it strongly, because history has showed time and time again that some of the greatest veterans that our country ever produced was from the American Revolutionary War, and they were all volunteers, and not one of them were actually in the military when it all originally started. Some of them were. But a large portion of the unspoken names, not just the celebrity names of the Revolutionary War, but the unspoken names. To me, it's just, it's very sad to see people splitting the edges like this. Before we go, because he talked about vaccines, once again, this won't be played on YouTube, I want you to hear something about vaccines.
This is a 2021 document from the Japanese data on Pfizer. It shows the virus, the vaccinated components, in all the body organs within hours. not just at the site of injection. This is the paper that they're talking about, some of the doctors in the media, about the Harvard study showing that within hours we see virus particles going around the body. I found that fascinating, but not as fascinating as the second part that nobody's talking about. That from a vaccine that only carries the spike protein, it's making antibodies to the nucleocapsid, which is another part of the virus that's not supposedly in the vaccines. You can't make antibodies to something not in your body. So my question is, what's in the vaccines that you're not only making antibodies to the spike protein, but to the nucleocapsid, because their data shows, and that's the key, I think, to this paper, is that there's antibodies to the nucleocapsid. These vaccines must have more in it than just the spike protein, which we're going to see in a moment. And that's not the only paper you should know about, because in 2017, Moderna published a paper using lipid nanoparticles on the influenza vaccine, and it showed that when the animals tested, their lipid nanoparticle vaccine spread into the brain, the bone marrow, the liver, the spleen, and the muscle site where it was injected. 2017, brought to you by Moderna. It also doesn't explain the fact that if shedding doesn't exist, Health and Human Services and the FDA went to a lot of effort to issue a guidance to the industry in August of 2015 when they issued a document on shedding from viral and bacterial vaccines to the industry and how to test for it. They didn't spend this type of money and time to test for something that they didn't know and exist. This is their document. It's on the website. It also doesn't explain one other important thing. Remember those prion-like diseases we talked about? Your DNA belongs inside of your nucleus or your mitochondria. Your RNA belongs inside of your cells. If your body doesn't see it, it's not a part of your body. Your immune system doesn't see your genetic code because it's not outside of your cells. RNA, outside of your cells, is a prion. The vaccines contain mRNA. Any leakage of that material produces a prion-like disease.
All right, so what's a prion-like disease, real quick? And we're going to get into this tomorrow, so just listen. Common symptoms of prion diseases include difficulties with thinking, memory, and judgment, personality changes like apathy, agitation, and depression, confusion or disorientation, involuntary muscle spasms, loss of coordination, trouble sleeping, difficult or slurred speech. Now, tomorrow we're going to really dive into this. I want to talk about vaccines and everything that I can find out about, you know, this new stuff that's coming out. And that was Dr. Richard M. Fleming, PhD, MD. And that was through a Dallas conference that he was at. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Doug Thornton. Thank you for listening. This is American Vindicta. Stay frosty and be aware of your surroundings. Thank you everyone for listening. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.